Well, good evening, folks. I guess my mic's on. You can hear me. Yeah, I can hear it now. So, well, it's an honor, a privilege, and a special time to be here. So welcome to y'all, and welcome to those maybe listening by radio. I spoke with Brother Artis last night. He called me and told me he couldn't be here because of something at work. You know, I think he's in Arkansas or somewhere. And we were talking about just a special time, and I appreciate the opportunity. So I think he said he was going to try to listen in, or he would sure listen at another date if he couldn't listen in. So, but I appreciate y'all being here. Does everybody know somebody that's not here tonight? All right. How about this? When you go home tonight, or maybe tomorrow, call that person and don't chastise them for not being here. Call that person and say, look, I noticed you weren't at church last night and I was concerned about you. Is everything okay? Anything we can do to help you? Just wanted to check on you and tell you we love you and make sure everything's all right. I think we'd be surprised what the results of that might be. Okay? The other thing I was thinking about was at Crawfish Bowl Saturday, come with the intent of being aggressively friendly. Now, what does that mean? If you don't know somebody, put your best smile on, go up, stick your hand out, introduce yourself, shake their hand, and talk to them about them. Talk to them about them. And that's aggressively friendly. You'd be surprised what kind of results that might have. So, but let's go. Let's get started here tonight. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I pray that you might be lifted up, that I might be pushed aside, that you could take the forefront, for you're worthy of all of our honor and praise. We thank you, for just being who you are, waking us up this morning and helping us to have a great day enjoying your creation and have the physical ability to be here tonight. Bless our time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've told you all many times that I was saved on the 25th of May. That's today. 40 years ago today, I was saved in this church. And it's just a tremendous blessing to me and to be able to come back to the church that I was saved in and see grandparents, parents, kids, generations, some of you that weren't even born back then, are still here, still in church. It's still a blessing. This church is still here. And there are a lot of churches today in America that were open 40 years ago that are closed today. And I thank God for the men in this church, the ladies in this church, everybody in this church that have held strong, held fast to the faith. Even in the time when you haven't had a pastor, it's not the pastor's job to keep the church going. God will keep the church going if the members are faithful and the members pray. So y'all have done a great job, and I appreciate it, because what a unique time to be able to come back to a church 40 years later and preach in the church you got saved in. If you'd have told me 41 years ago that I'd be standing here preaching tonight, no. No way. But God can change anybody at any time, okay? And he certainly changed me. So what I've done tonight is I just, you know, I entitled to some things I've learned over the last 40 years. And I thought of a few things. But I got to tell you that I'm learning the importance of several things. I'd love to do better, or at least more consistently. And these are in no particular order. I got to tell you that I am a work in progress, all right? I'm not there yet. I don't believe I'm where God wants me to be, and I know I'm not where I want to be. But we are, as Christians, we are a work in progress, and we need to be progressing, not get stagnant and be progressing. So I just want to talk about a few things tonight quickly. Number one, I've learned over the years that we are to run after Jesus. Does that make sense? We are to run to Jesus. Following Jesus, it's not an accident. It's a daily choice. It's intentional. Choose to live every day like Jesus is everything. Intentionally invite the Holy Spirit and make appointments with God and keep them. Treat the Bible like it really is a light to guide the way. Well, Proverbs 119:105 says that the Bible, it's a, by word is I get the lamp and the light mixed up. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And if we look at it that way, what's the first thing you do when you have a storm come through and the power goes out? What's the first thing you do? You're grabbing for some light somewhere, right? There's a storm coming and you're grabbing for some light, a candle, a flashlight, your phone with a light on it, whatever, you're grabbing for some light. So when the storm comes through, grab God's word. It's to be the lamp to my feet, the light into my path. Chase God. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32 is the story of the prodigal son. And you know, it's the only place in the Bible where we see a picture of God running towards man. It's a picture of God running to a child that was lost and is now saved. But it's the only time you see that. Every other illustration, everything else in the Bible is teaching us that we are to seek God. We are to run towards him. And he wants us to exercise our free will. That's why he doesn't make us get saved. But we're to seek God in everything that we do, run towards him. Number two, you can always choose your response. You remember a few years ago, it was the "What Would Jesus Do?" fad that was going around, WWJD, and everybody had wristbands and all that. And some people took that to unusual extremes, but I think that's a pretty good question. What would Jesus do? If we weighed our decisions based on that, I think we'd have a different world. But every day when you wake up, you have a choice. You can have a good day or a bad day. You can be happy or you can be miserable. It's a choice every day. You can't control what comes your way, but you can control your response to what comes your way. Life is a gift, and we need to treat it like that. Don't be miserable, entitled, and offended. You've been shown amazing grace, so be gracious. Be nice to others. You have no idea what someone might be going through. So encourage others. Be nice to others. Number three. I'm moving kind of fast, so if I talk fast, will you listen fast? All right. So number three, avoid drama. Like the plague. Let me give you an illustration. You know what drama does? Everybody's got some sort of drama in their life, right? So you go to work. You might be listening to your favorite radio station. And what are you listening to? If it's not a Christian radio station, you're listening to the disc jockey tell you about his or her drama. Then you get to work and you go in the break room and you get a cup of coffee. Somebody lays their drama on you. Through the day, there's no telling how many people you're going to run into, and they're piling drama on you. So what happens as the day progresses? You're piled with all this drama, and it just drags you down. It robs you of your joy. And, you know, when somebody starts with that stuff, and usually drama is, it starts like this. Did you hear about, you know what so-and-so did? You know what you could do right then? Hold up. I don't want to hear what so-and-so did. I've got enough on my plate. I don't mean to be ugly with you. I don't mean to offend you. But I got enough on my plate. I don't need all that information about other people. You told me their name. I'll pray for them. But I don't need all that. Now, one of two things will happen. They'll respect you or they won't talk to you anymore. Either one is real good. Okay, either one of those is real good. So avoid drama. Drama's a monster and it'll rob you of your joy. Number four, be you intentionally. You are wonderfully and uniquely made. God made you for a reason. If you have a physical characteristic that is different than other people, embrace it. I told Addie I wasn't going to embarrass her, but Addie's a little self-conscious about being tall. And you know why? Because everybody comes up to her and says, Addie, you're getting so tall. And I tell her all the time, I said, yeah, you're tall and you're beautiful. Embrace it. Just be tall. I've been tall all my life. You just be tall. That's the way God made you. So be you intentionally. If God wanted you to be tall, you're going to be tall. If he wanted you to have red hair, you're going to have red hair. So just be you intentionally. Either positively or negatively, it's a rubbish way to live and generally steals your joy. Celebrate the success of others. Even be inspired. But be you in Christ. What do you bring to the world? What has God given you? What makes you come alive? What has God made you to do? Make space to do that every day. Be yourself. Don't try to impress others. We spend way too much money and time buying stuff we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't know. That's just the way it is. That's why we have so many storage facilities around. We spend too much time buying stuff we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't know, and it all winds up in a storage facility that costs you $150 a month. That makes no sense. But be intentional. Be yourself. Be concerned with what Christ thinks about you and not what others think about you. Number five, put your phone down. We, every morning, every afternoon, we have a routine. Take Addie to school. We come home from school. So we're there. We're on the road at the same time every day. And we actually spot license numbers that we see every day. We can tell you certain license numbers and people. But I'm amazed every day at the people that still drive on one of the busiest, deadliest highways in America, Highway 90. It goes from Lafayette to Morgan City. Driving down Highway 90 with their phone, either talking or texting or playing a game or doing something on their phone while they're driving 60 miles an hour going to work. Or they're putting their makeup on. Or they're doing whatever. But put your phone down. You know, the phone's a great thing. Who would have thought years ago that you could hold in your hand a supercomputer that could connect you around the world and do a million things that were unheard of 30 or 40 years ago? But let's put it to good use. Don't use it to text and kill somebody else or kill yourself. Put your phone down. They do wonderful things, but they can also rob your rest, your peace, your time, and prevent you from being fully present with people, your family, or with God. You've got voicemail. Don't answer your phone. Engage the person you are with. Call back later. I think one of the most rude things you can do is be having a personal conversation with somebody and your phone rings and you answer it. In their face, you answer that phone. You just told them whoever this is more important than you are. Put that thing down. It can wait. Call back later. Number six, cultivate friendships. Friendships are worth it. You will have many acquaintances, but only a small number of true friends. Choose whom you do not want to hurt. Now, that doesn't mean choose to hurt people, but you can hold people dear. My buddy Artis, you all know Artis very well. Artis and I have been close friends. We've been tight for 40 years. And I wouldn't think of doing anything to offend my friend Artis. I would not want to hurt that guy. If I did, it would crush me if I hurt him. I would go out of my way not to hurt that man. And I think that's the way it ought to be. That's friendship. That's love. So cultivate friendships. Sincerely hope that your spouse is your BFF. Humanly speaking, best friend forever. But I sincerely hope that Jesus is your BFF, spiritually speaking. They both should be. Number seven, people are hurting, lonely, and scared. So be kind. Love people. If we had love for the people around us, we'd have a different world. All this scary stuff you hear on the news today, if we had more love in this world, all that would go away. I read a story a while back about a pastor who was so burdened about this very subject. He came out on a Sunday morning for the morning service, and they did the preliminaries, the music and the offering and all that, and he got up to preach, and he walked up, and he stood there, and he said, "Love, love, love." And he was silent for what seemed to the congregation like eons of time. And he said, "Love, love, love." And he walked down and he sat on the front pew. He just sat there. In a matter of minutes, people started coming out of the pews, coming to the front, weeping and crying and praying that God would give them a spirit of love in their heart for other people. That's where we ought to be. If we could love other people, we could change the world just by being intentional and being aggressively friendly and all these things that we talk about. But it's all about people are hurting, lonely, and scared. We live in a lost and dying world. And people today, with all the stuff that's going on in the world today, they're confused. They can't understand how all this happens, all this stuff can be happening. And what's happening is pure hatred, evil hatred. And we could reverse that by having spiritual, true, genuine love for the people around us. Number eight, you cannot please everyone. So stay teachable, listen, learn, and grow. But recognize that you're probably going to upset someone. Decide who you don't want to upset. Just like that friendship. But you're not going to be able to please everybody. You're going to, you know, I can remember some difficult circumstances in the past where we just had to agree to disagree. I worked at River Bend for, well, I worked with this guy over a year. He was a safety engineer, and he was so bent on the fact that you had to be baptized to be saved. And we talked, we went round and round and round and round and round. And I believe he was saved. He was just misinformed. Wasn't taught the truth. He accepted Christ as his personal Savior, but he was taught that baptism was a part of that. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. They take one verse, turn it around, and teach people that you got to be saved to be baptized. And finally got to the point where, you know, I had to say, "Tom, look, you know, we've been butting heads for a year. And I can tell you're not going to change your stance, and I'm not going to change mine. So we're going to agree to disagree." He said, "Okay." And I said, "I'm sorry you're wrong." And he said, "Well, I think I'm sorry you're wrong." And I said, "Well, that's why we agree to disagree. But let's pray for one another. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you, okay?" And but you can't please everybody. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be differences. But don't make it a negative. You can agree to disagree with somebody. Just keep it a positive, because you can't please everyone. Number nine, discern vision with God, then run after it with everything. God has wisdom and vision for every part of your life, your work, your ministry, everything about your life. God has vision and wisdom for your life. Talk to him, then go for it together. Sacrifice comfort for calling. Somebody said, "Get out of the way and let God lead." Follow him. You know, I thought early on when I first got saved that I come up with all these wonderful ideas. Oh, we need to do this. Oh, we need to do that. And there's people out there that they're always coming up with stuff, and they'll go to the pastor or whoever, "We got to do this and we got to do that." And they want people or the pastor to buy into their ideas. Well, guess what? God already thought about what you just thought about. Okay? You don't have to come up with all these ideas. What you got to do is observe what's going on around you and see where God's working and go join him. Henry Blackaby teaches that in his book, Experiencing God. Wonderful series and a great discipleship training on how to experience God more. And it's one of the principles of experiencing God is just look around. God is at work everywhere around you. Find a place where he's at work, go join him. You can't come up with any new ideas that God hasn't already thought about. So discern vision with God and then run after it with everything. You might have to give up some of the things that you love and like to answer the call of God, but it'll be worth it. Number 10, disappointment, pain, heartache come to everyone this side of heaven. But listen to this. No day is 100% bad, and God is in the business of redemption. The worst day as a Christian is better than the best day of a lost person. Every good story has ups and downs. There's good in every day. I've been saved 40 years, as you all well know. I don't even calculate how many days that is. But not one day has gone by that I would have said, I regret becoming a Christian. Never. Never. With illnesses, death in the family, everything that has gone on in the last 40 years, I never had not the first thought that this was a bad idea, getting saved. It's not going to happen. No day is 100% bad. Number 11, keep learning. Read the Bible. Seek out wisdom and critique from good people, people who think like you and people who don't. God speaks through donkeys if you listen. Learn something new every day. Be teachable. Don't act like a know-it-all because you don't know it all. I don't know it all. Be teachable. Try to learn something new every day. I try to learn something new every day. It's a new hunting technique or a new fishing technique, tie a different kind of knot, how to cook this, how to do that, whatever. But try to learn something new every day. Just remain teachable. If you're not teachable, it's kind of like all over if you're not teachable. You've reached that pinnacle, or you think you have. And then you wind up being a better than everybody else, but remain teachable. Number 12, treat people like they're amazing because they are. People are amazing. It doesn't matter what you look like, how tall you are, how short you are, what color your hair is, how big your feet are. It doesn't matter what you are. People are amazing. Everybody has unique characters, and everybody was designed and wonderfully made by God. So treat people like they're amazing. Go out of your way to encourage someone today. It'll change their day, maybe their life. And it costs absolutely nothing to be an encourager. Nothing at all. And it might even change your life, just trying to encourage someone. Number 13, rest. God rested, so we need to. Be serious about the day of rest. Book holidays or vacations if you're able. Trust God enough to pause what's going on in your life. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. It doesn't all depend on you, and you'll bring so much more when you're rested. Take a break. Rest. You can't do it all. I used to work for a company, Harbert International. They built ethanol plants, they built geothermal plants around the country, pretty big construction company, and I worked for them in New Iberia, and they did a study. The owner of the company was a Christian, and they were asked to do a study on the effect of heavy machinery, and they had a number of large generators around the country, and you would think that a piece of machinery, if you kept the oil chains, the oil filter chains, the air filter chains, and fuel filter chains, and you kept everything maintenance according to plan, that thing would last forever, to a degree. So what they did, they took a certain group of equipment and a certain group over here, and they ran this equipment around the clock, 24 hours a day. They shut it down long enough to check the oil and change filters, whatever, maintenance, crank it right back up again. This group of equipment over here, same thing, same piece of equipment. They ran it 6 days a week and shut it down and let it rest and cool down, and they let it rest for a day. Now, it's obvious that that group of equipment would last longer because it's not being operated as much as this group of equipment, right? That's easy to understand. But the group of equipment that they let rest one day a week lasted 30% longer than the one that they ran 7 days a week. That's a huge difference when you're talking about a piece of machinery that might cost $100,000 and it'll last 30% longer if you shut it down one day and let it rest. So God knew what he was doing. You agree? Now, if he can do that with a generator, how does that compare to us? We need rest. We need to shut it down. That's why people, you know, they get so burnt out because they think it will not operate, the job will not go on without them, and they work themselves to the point of exhaustion, and then they're completely burned out. And they think, well, I'm burned out on this job. Well, yeah, you're working 7-12-hour days for 6 months at a time. Of course you are. God designed us for rest. If he worked 6 days and rested one, don't you think we should? So take time for rest. Number 14 says, take risks. Well, that's, you know, I've learned that you need to take risks in life. Faith grows when you take risks. To listen to what God's saying and do that. Don't let fear rob you of life and all its fullness. Don't settle for your vision. All right, settle for God's vision. Now, it may seem risky to you. You come up with, God is calling you to do this. Well, how in the world is that going to work out? I can't figure that out, God. How's that going to happen? Take the risk. God knows what he's doing. All right? It's worth the risk to be doing what God wants you to do. 15, don't forget to worship. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of others together. We are in a relation type being. We need to be around Christians. We need to have the fellowship of Christians. That's why I like to come to work to church on Wednesday night. Because I can wash off Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and get that spiritual bath to go back and tackle Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then I get to come back to church again and get it all washed off again. God knew what he was doing. But don't forget to worship. We need each other. It's what we're made for. We are relational type people. Worship changes you. It changes your perspective. It changes your level of faith. And it changes the outcome. Call somebody who's not here. Tell them you love them. You're just concerned about them. And just don't ask them why they weren't here. Just say, I noticed you weren't here. Is everything okay? Just checking on you. Anything I can do for you? I think we'd be amazed. Number 16, fun matters. Have some fun. It's okay to laugh and smile. I sang that little song for you that the kids sing. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, surely want to show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, tell your face. Sometimes we walk around like we're sucking on a lemon. And people are going to say, man, I really want to be like that guy. And you got this look on your face. You're like you're the most miserable person on the planet. Smile. Be friendly. Have fun. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22 that a joyful heart is good medicine. Okay, so having said all that, therefore, Christianity is not just a weekly trip to church. It's receiving Jesus as our Savior and learning to live a life consistent with his principles. I'm trying to think who it was. Lee Robertson wrote a book many years ago called Three to Thrive. But you need it to thrive as a Christian. You need to be in church three times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I preached a sermon after I read that book called Four to Flourish. I believe you need to be in Sunday school also. So that's going to put you here for four different services a week. Maintaining high standards and living a godly lifestyle will bring peace, joy, stability, and a blessing to your life today and set you on a good path towards your future. Decide whether you are going to dedicate yourself to God or serve the world system. That's the decision we make as Christians. We're going to serve God or serve the world. That's the decision that we make. To grow spiritually, you need to be around people who are there to encourage you to be godly. I tell people all the time in conversation that any kind of a man that I am today is because of my accountability partner, Artis Johnson. And he says immediately that iron sharpens iron. But I'm a better man for having that guy as a friend over all these years. You need to be around people that think like you, or you think together about the things of God, so that they can encourage you and uplift you. You need to be around people who encourage you to be godly. And Christianity, again, is not just a weekly trip to church or reading the Bible each day. It's a lifestyle, a way of living and approaching every area of your life, and affects every decision we make. Every decision we make. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. In all your ways acknowledge him in everything that we do. By keeping your lifestyle according to the principles of God, God offers many blessings. Blessings come from obedience. We're obedient. We do the things God wants us to do, and he blesses us. If we want to prosper and be wise and successful, we need to know and meditate and obey God's word. So we need to study God's word. As we see the truth expressed in God's word, we recognize that many of our ways are wrong. I don't want to go to a church or read a book that tells me everything's going to be wonderful. Prosperity gospel. Hang in there. You're going to get rich one day. Believe, and it will happen. Ain't going to happen. I don't believe that. And there's nothing wrong with money, okay? There's nothing wrong with having things and having money, and that's not a concern. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But when that's our main pursuit, what happens? That consumes us. It just takes everything out of us. And Jesus walked around. He didn't have a house. He didn't have a car. What did Jesus have when he was on earth? The clothes on his back. That's what he had. That's all he had. Great lesson for us. We must remember God's word has the power to change our lives, and it always accomplishes its purpose. So, what have I learned over the last 40 years? I got some work to do. I think we all got some work to do. These are things that, just came up that I thought about. And I appreciate the opportunity to share that with you tonight. I've run over there a good bit, so I appreciate your time and your patience, but we're going to have a word of prayer, and as usual, we always have an invitation. Let's make it short. If you got business with God, let's take care of that, but let's pray. Father God, thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for this church, Grace Baptist Church. I thank you for the people here that were here 40 years ago, their parents were here, their grandparents were here, and they're still here. It's such a blessing that is often taken for granted and people don't understand what a wonderful thing it is to be able to come back here 40 years later, see familiar faces and see the lights on and the preaching of God's word from this pulpit. Thank you, Lord, for that. Pray if anybody here tonight or within the sound of my voice doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, that tonight might be the night of their salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Settle that before you go to sleep tonight, because we're not promised tomorrow. Lead us and guide us and bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.